following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Okay. Well, just for the record, we got the sun in Phoenix, too.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sunny in Phoenix podcast, a weekly podcast where we keep you up to date on everything Phoenix Suns basketball. My name is Charlie Erling, and as always, I have Dabbin Mitch Krumpetich.
What's up?
And Savory David McGraw.
All them girls say what?
What?
And this week, we're going to talk about the open practice. We'll give a review of that. After that, we'll talk about who has the most to prove during the preseason. And then we'll touch on Media Day and what stood out the most from that.
Follow us on Twitter at SunnyandPHXPod. Same thing for Instagram. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a comment, and you will get a shout out on the show.
We've got a shout out this week from a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you to Ju Verdugo for saying, "Wow, amazing. Basketball is very important." That's correct. Shout out to my boy Flint. He knows what's up.
All right, so let's just hop into the show right here. This last weekend, Saturday specifically, September the 29th, the Suns held an open scrimmage for the public. Good way to just showcase some of the young talent right before the preseason, get everyone a little excited in basketball. Our very own Mitch was there and, you know, got some pretty good seats. So why don't you go into that right now, Mitch,
That's
and
right.
tell us about it.
That's right. Yeah, I'm glad I got there when I did because those seats were filling up. But I did get some nice seats and watch the open practice, which is always a lot of fun. Last year they did this in Prescott and we went up for that. But this year they just did it at the arena and there were a lot more people, as you would expect. Quickly, I guess I'll just go through the lineups that we had for the scrimmage that we got to see. The team did a longer practice. And they only did the last part, which was the scrimmage for the fans. So it was separated into white and black jerseys. The white team was Shaq Harrison. He looked pretty good. He hit a three. Just usual Shaq Harrison, good hustle. Pretty good control of the ball. Nothing too crazy, but his shot looked a little better. Then we had Troy Daniels next to him in the backcourt. And Troy Daniels looked really good, actually. He hit some really nice shots. He did a lot better at driving the lane and just doing things other than shooting catch-and-shoot threes. So that was kind of cool to see. Then we had Dragan Bender. Bender had a little bit of a rough scrimmage. He airballed a layup. And, it was kind of tough. Tough day for Bender. Then they had TJ Warren. TJ looks like he is definitely going to be playing the four this year. He has put on some weight, it looks like, but in a good way. He looks like he's stronger, a little bit tougher. Otherwise, same old TJ, but yeah, he definitely looks a little bit bigger. And then we had Tyson Chandler to round out that starting lineup, and Tyson just did his thing, finishing dunks, rebounding, all the usual. Then the bench for the white team, we had Rashawn Holmes. Holmes is a great rebounder. That's what I learned from this scrimmage. He is a great, great rebounder, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And I just realized during this scrimmage that Rashawn Holmes just replaces Alex Len, and that's pretty cool. Then we had Mikal Bridges, who it was very similar to what we saw from him in Summer League. He didn't get a ton of time on the court. So it's really hard to judge, but I still think he has an opportunity to do something with this team this year. And then we had D'Anthony Melton, who he looked okay. He's still obviously learning a lot, and he got in late, but his defense is very good. It's pretty apparent. So that was the white team. And then the black team, we had Isaiah Cannon, who looked really good, actually. I mean, The Suns' definition of really good for a point guard is not great, but he looked pretty good. Then we had Josh Jackson, who just makes me really excited. I love Josh Jackson, and he looked a lot better than what we saw in Summer League. A lot more under control, still great defense, still great effort, fast break scoring, all of that. Josh Jackson, I think he's going to have a big year. Then we had Trevor Ariza, who is 33, and yeah, he was tired, but I'm still excited for him. We also had Ryan Anderson on that team, who he hit a really nice three. His shooting stroke is great. He hit one really close to where I was sitting, and as soon as it left his hand, you could tell it was just going to be all net, and it was, and it was pure. You could hear it. Oh, it was great. And then we had DeAndre Ayton. Oh my gosh, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton looked really good. And we'll probably talk about him more. Then the bench, we had Okobo, who had a couple careless passes. It seems like he's just trying to be really fancy with everything he does. But when it works, it's great. When it doesn't, it's terrible. Then we had Davon Reed, who Davon Reed picked up right off where he left off from Summer League. He hit some shots. He was under control. He got to the rim. I was pleased with Davon's effort. And then we had George King. George King is on a two-way contract, and it was apparent why. So that's my summary of these guys. It was a really fun event, and I'm glad I got to see all of them in action. The other thing to note from this is Devin Booker did not play. He was there. He was on the sideline cheering and everything, talking to people. But he still had a little bit of a brace on his right hand, just putting his ring finger and pinky finger together. But I noticed he was using that right hand to hold the microphone to high-five guys. It wasn't like he was just doing everything with his left hand. And I believe the brace that he was wearing was a little bit smaller than the one I had seen in previous pictures and those kind of things. So it seems like he's definitely improving. All right, so I'll go in quickly to talk a little bit more about Josh Jackson and DeAndre Ayton, because to me, they were the standouts of this scrimmage. Josh Jackson, his shot looks much improved. I've mentioned it before that I think he is going to have a decent season shooting the ball this year because he got rid of that hitch, and it's apparent he's been working on his shot quite a bit. He just looked like Josh Jackson at the end of last year. His endurance looks really good because these guys came out and they were tired. It was pretty clear they had been practicing pretty hard before. And Jackson, it just looked like he was treating this scrimmage like an actual game. And he was getting fired up by the crowd and all of that. So that was cool to see him treat it like that. He's just so explosive. He's such a great athlete. It is a little weird to see him without his fro. He seemed a little bit shorter, but I realized it's just because he was missing some height from his hair. Still good size, still the same size as last year, but the hair definitely made a difference.
I know that we've been harping on the pod quite a bit about Jackson's shot and how, especially in Summer League, it looks like he's really been working on it, maybe changed it a little bit to smoothen it out. But I believe it was in Media Day, he got asked if he had been, like, working to change his shot, and he specifically said he didn't change his shot. So that could be a couple of different things about how smooth it looks, and in all honesty, I think it's kind of a confidence thing, you know? When you're confident that something is going to work or that you're going to make it, you're going to be a lot smoother, and it's going to be a full action instead of breaking up the action. If you're thinking too much about something, you know, you can kind of get in your own head and kind of break up what you're doing a little bit into break it in half, basically. And that could have been exactly what happened with Josh. And, you know, there were times during the season where he looked a lot smoother. You know, one of his big highlights was that where he took Clint Capella on the dribble and hit that shot to give us a lead against the Rockets. Now, of course, we didn't win that game, but especially that shot, while it didn't seem like he followed through all the way, it was a smooth shot. And you know, confidence is a huge thing. And when you're just confident that something's, you're going to make it or that something's going to go right, that can do wonders for smoothing things out. And maybe that's all that happened. That hitch was just, you know, kind of overthinking and not as confident. And now that the confidence is there, it's a little more natural.
Yeah, and he does look confident. He looks very confident. I think that's a good way of putting it. But I also want to talk about DeAndre Ayton here. Ayton was the star of this scrimmage. He looks so good. And I'll start with what Igor Kokoschkov has been stressing with Ayton, and that's defense. Ayton's defense looked phenomenal, and I was so happy to see that. So the Suns are going to switch everything this year. Pretty much everything. And Ayton was switching onto point guards. He was shooting on. He was switching onto shooting guards, small forwards. It doesn't matter. Screen and roll, he was switching. He was calling it out. And there's a great play where Ayton got switched onto TJ. And TJ went to just blow by and get to the rim like he always does. And Ayton just stopped him dead in his tracks. Didn't touch him at all. Just used his feet to get right in the way, and it was textbook defense. And those are the kind of things that Ayton was doing the whole time. So that was great to see. And then on offense, his shot was looking a lot better than what we saw in Summer League, and his rebounding looked really good. I mean, this scrimmage, Ayton looked like I expected him to look like for being a number one pick.
So Mitch, if you had to, you know, take a guess, obviously you don't have the numbers in front of you, and they're not going to have the numbers probably out there. What would you say Ayton's stat line was during this scrimmage?
If I had to guess, I would say like 8 points, 4 rebounds, and I want to say he had a block. But this was like, this scrimmage lasted about 30 minutes, and Ayton didn't play the whole thing. So that's what I would guess.
Right on. I was kind of wondering how, like, he looked with, like, Tyson. Because, I mean, Tyson, not the defender that he once was, obviously. But still rebounds. It still cares a lot about rebounding. And I was kind of curious about how the boxing out went there. And obviously Tyson's old and tired, but...
Yeah, it went well. I mean, Tyson is still a great rebounder. And Tyson pulled down some nice boards. But I think on offense... One thing that DeAndre did really well was he just found the soft spots in the defense. And Tyson doesn't want to come all the way out to guard these guys at, like, the high post or anything. And Ayton can hit shots from there. So that's where a lot of his scoring came from. So, I mean, Ayton, it was a smart play on Ayton's part. But, yeah, I mean, they were battling down low for sure. And it's tough to give the edge to one guy, but they both looked good down there.
So TJ, you said looked pretty solid, looked like he put on a little bit of, like weight and probably so just trying to bulk up a little bit. Yes. It has been talked with all the wings that we're going to be having a lot more fours and everything, yep. Or having a lot of him playing at the four, I should say. So like he looked pretty solid. I know like he definitely looked bigger in like the media day, like pictures, like. Especially when he was like next to like Booker or Jackson, like he just looked bigger.
Yeah, definitely he did. It was pretty clear to me when you see him in person. I don't want to say an exact number just because I don't want to, you know, get anything super wrong or anything. But he's definitely put on some weight. You can just tell he's been in the weight room. I mean, it's not like a Marquise Chris situation or anything.
But not chipmunked?
He looks strong. So, that's TJ. But I want to talk about the point guards. Because I think what we saw from this scrimmage was very telling about the point guards. And if I had to guess from just this scrimmage who our starting point guard on opening night is going to be, I would say Isaiah Cannon has that job right now after training camp. And I know that's disappointing to some people, including myself, but I mean, he just looks like he has the most control of the game and the offense at this point, which, I mean, he is the most experienced of all the point guards we have on our roster, so I guess that makes sense. that's just where we're at right now. And it, like, I just based on what we saw here, if I had to give a starting lineup prediction, I would say if Devin Booker is out for the first game of the year, I would say the starting lineup that the black team used for the scrimmage could very well be our starting lineup for our first game. So that would be Cannon, Jackson, Ariza, Anderson, and Ayton. So,
you know, it's probably going to be pretty interesting because Isaiah Cannon being our shortest player, if Igor really wants to do this switch everything offense, are we really going to be, you know, super, super confident in 6 foot Isaiah Cannon or supposedly 6 foot Isaiah Cannon getting switched on to, you know, a small forward or a, you know, a, even a power forward at that point?
That's a great question.
You would just think that, you know, someone like Shaq Harrison, 6'4", he can get switched on to, you know, a shooting guard or a small forward, and, you know, he's got a little bit more strength, a little bit more size, and you would think that he would just be a little bit better at guarding those guys in the switching defense. But you know, I don't know if that set. It'll be pretty tough if Isaiah Cannon is starting to really show that all switching, or to show that switch everything defense and see it work effectively.
Yeah, I will say Shaq looked good. And could definitely, things could change. We have to see how preseason goes. And the first preseason game of the year is the day this episode comes out. So we'll definitely see what that starting lineup looks like. But yeah, I think we kind of talked about this last week, that these guys could likely get equal playing time, equal minutes throughout these preseason games, just as more competition and see who does the best. But at this point, I would say Shaq and Cannon are a step ahead Melton and Okobo just because of experience. I mean, especially Melton just really doesn't have the full grasp of the offense yet, and Okobo is just taking some unnecessary risks.
Which, that makes sense. I mean, they're the youngest guys. Melton was out of professional, or not organized basketball, not professional basketball. Was out of organized basketball for a year.
Right.
Like, plus just got traded to the team. It makes sense for him to be a little behind. The Okobo thing with the passes, I mean, we saw that in Summer League when he was playing. He was doing some passes that guys weren't ready for and, like, being a bit flashy, and it's fun and, like, good to see. But, like, it's going to be tough, you know, and he's going to have to learn a bit. Obviously, both these guys are a little bit, are some project guys, and we've mentioned that before on the pod, but I think it's interesting to hear that, you know, you thought that Cannon was the best looking one, because, you know, we were just talking about how it seems like Cannon might be the one that is off the roster out of all these guys, but...
Yep, that's what we thought, but... I don't know. I think we could have been wrong.
I do think that Cannon is like an average backup point guard in the league, which would be our best point guard right now. I stand by that. I know that, like, he looked solid in the, like, 12 games or whatever it was. 11, 12 games, however many he played. And obviously, like, yeah, we're used to Tyler Ulis and Mike James, so literally anything would have been better than that. But, like, I mean, Cannon's gotten run. I don't think that it's a bad option. He just doesn't have as much of the upside because he's older and he kind of is what he's going to be.
Yeah, I really don't know. The other question that comes up, though, is say Devin Booker is healthy for the first regular season game. Then who do we start? Do we just throw Booker in there instead of Cannon with that lineup and have him play the point guard? Or how do, I don't know. I've thought about this a bunch, and I can't figure out how we would do this. And, I mean, I'm starting to think that maybe we don't trot out the same starting lineup every night. Maybe it changes night to night based on who's playing well.
That wouldn't throw me off. Like, Igor seems like a guy who's going to be very involved, and it's going to be a lot of that. I could see him messing with it and taking kind of the Brad Stevens approach where, you know, the Celtics, they don't always start the three wings, like, all the time. Like, depending on the matchup, they'll start Aaron Baines next to Al Horford or, like, right. that kind of stuff and kind of mess with it that way. I wouldn't be surprised if Igor is a guy like that who's, you know, it's going to be a lot of, like, specific situations where things change. I think that there are some... I think there are definitely some teams where you could put Josh Jackson on the point guard and try and roll with that. I love Book. I still think that we are putting way too much into his playmaking, and I think we just need someone to be a primary playmaker, and Book can't be that right now.
This episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. We all know that getting tickets online can be way too complicated. There's a bunch of different sites and varying levels of reliability, and it's hard to know who you can trust. But SeatGeek is the way to go. Because it pulls millions of tickets into one place, you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. And we know there's nothing quite like being at an event in person, so SeatGeek gets you closer to that action for a great value. Now let me tell you about my SeatGeek experience. I've used SeatGeek before for concerts, for basketball games. My sister recently used SeatGeek for a concert that sold out in about 4 minutes on other sites. Quickly go over to SeatGeek, and there's plenty of options. Doesn't break the bank. So, she had a great time at the show, thanks to SeatGeek. If you're listening to this show, I know that you are going to sporting events, and you have to get tickets. So if you're not using our promo code, SunsFans, that's SunsFans, you're pretty much just throwing away $20. Just take $20 out of your wallet and throw it away if you're not going to use our promo code. That's effectively what you're doing. So, download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code SunsFans, and you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
All right, let's talk about now who we think has the most to prove during the preseason. We know that there's a lot of guys playing at the wing spots here, and those minutes have to be distributed somehow. So, how about Mitch? Who do you think is going to have the most to prove during preseason?
Well, after what I saw of Dragan Bender in this scrimmage, I think I have to go with him. I mean, airballing a layup is never good. It was shades of what we saw a little bit last year. And I just know he can be better than this. We've seen Dragan Bender have these games where he scores 20 points and he gets some rebounds and makes some good passes. But we've also seen a lot of games where he just really struggles. I know that he is capable of doing good things. So it's just tough to see him struggle. But, I mean, we saw with this Marquise Chris trade that, you know, in the NBA, your job is never safe. You're fighting for your spot on the team every day. And Bender needs to realize, which I'm sure he does realize, that this is his year. He needs to show up this year, or he might not have a spot on this team. And, I mean, I think preseason is going to be a good opportunity for him. We know that Bender is one of these guys that plays better with good players around him, like Booker, and having Jackson on the court with Bender is helpful. But Bender needs to earn the opportunity to play with those guys. And I think he has the ability to do so, but he's going to have to work.
Something interesting about this, this year for the first time, there are going to be guys on our team that can take Bender's minutes and we'd still be fine. Last year, it was either Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender at the power forward for most of the year. And obviously we know what the Suns organization thought of Chris. We traded him. So there's guys like TJ and Ariza and Rashawn Holmes who could all possibly take those minutes away from him. So Bender does need to show out in the preseason.
Right. Well, and Rashawn Holmes is a great example because he's the anti-Bender. Not a great shooter, but a really good rebounder and a shot blocker, a good presence in the paint on defense. It's nice to have guys who are opposites like that, but when they play the same position and it creates that competition, it can be tough for a guy like Bender who could possibly get out-competed.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really easy to outcompete Bender because, like, it's tough, but, like, he doesn't enforce himself. He doesn't push himself out there. So it's really easy for him to just get lost in the mix. And he's this. You just said it. It's his make or break year. If he doesn't show some sort of improvement, he's off the team. If he doesn't show some sort of improvement, he's not going to play. Like, whether it be TJ or Trevor Ariza playing the four, or Rashawn Holmes playing as like a bigger guy, or just more minutes going to Ryan Anderson, who can sit there and drop threes and is going to put in the effort because he's happy to be here. Like, yeah, if I think that his leash is going to be a lot shorter than in previous years, because like, it's not like our only fallbacks are Jared Dudley and Marquise Chris. Like, there's a lot of options there, and I completely agree with you. Like, it's good that like we got him first, but it makes my job a lot harder of saying who has the most to prove.
I hope in practice that Coach doesn't let Bender and Anderson match up. I hope he's like, Dragan, you're going against DeAndre today, or Holmes, or TJ. Chandler. Just anyone who's going to beat him up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
I think even a guy that's quicker than him, like another a wing, like, all right, you have to go up against him. He's playing small ball four. Like,
yeah. All right, so the guy that I think has the most to prove in the preseason, and this is a little interesting, but I think it's Mikal Bridges. We drafted him. Well, the Sixers drafted him 10th overall. We made the trade for him. But you'd expect a guy drafted in that position to have immediate impact on a team. And with our stockpile of wings, I think it's going to be tough for him to see extended minutes right off the bat. I think a big opportunity for him during preseason will be Booker being out. And I'm not saying that he's going to play the two as his primary position this season, but just the fact that a guy like Jackson will probably end up playing a lot more too at the start of the season and preseason here. I think this gives him a good shot to do it. And it seems like there's a lot of high expectations out there for him from Suns fans with that high pick. I think they're expecting a lot. So I hope he gets the minutes to be able to prove himself. And I think in the preseason, he definitely will.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the way Devin Booker's rookie season went, Suns fans often have these very high expectations, and they're not always fair, but I do think Bridges has the opportunity to have a good year. I mean, I'm not saying like Booker, because that situation was very unique, but yeah, he has the ability to earn some minutes, and we'll see what happens, but it is a tough situation since there's a lot of guys playing the wing this year.
I think that there's always going to be a guy that's, you know, in this late lottery that has a shot to really, like, defy expectations and play really well. And I'm not going to say that Mikal Bridges is going to be Donovan Mitchell, but, like, this is around that spot where there's always a surprise taken. You know, a TJ Warren, a Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell. Like, it always seems to happen. I think Mikal is going to have a lot of pressure just because everyone's always going to be like, man, they traded the Miami Heat pick for that. That Heat pick is unprotected. Like, it's so much, like, it's getting talked about so much about how we gave up this pick. It's really tough, but, like, you know, maybe that goes down a little bit if Miami swings a trade for Butler and that goes through, but it's really tough, and everyone's always going to be like, well, you know, they shouldn't have traded that pick for him or, like, whatever. But I think that Mikal's going to be fine. He's just going to have to play smart and show why he has quite possibly the highest floor of anyone in this draft.
And another thing is the other M Bridges, Miles Bridges, playing for the Hornets, drafted 12th overall, so two picks after him. He's been playing pretty solid early in the preseason, so he's setting the bar pretty high for those wings drafted in the lottery.
With the last name Bridges, too.
Yeah, even more so.
All right, so my guy with the most to prove in preseason, I think it's really easy to say Josh. You know, the whole last draft, everyone was talking about Jason Tatum this past season. Lonzo Ball won't be playing in the preseason, so we at least don't have to hear about him. A bunch of just really great guys from this draft, but I don't think Josh has that much of an issue. He flies really under the radar. I think the biggest guy, the guy with the biggest, Oh my gosh. The guy with the most to prove is definitely DeAndre Ayton. He's the number one overall pick. There's so much pressure that comes with that. And not only that, but there are so many people that read a bunch of blogs and listened to a bunch of podcasts that talked so high on Doncic that people didn't see Doncic play and thought that he should be the number one pick. And he will always be compared to Doncic. Anytime that Doncic plays even all right or shows a flash of something, people will be all on Doncic. And anytime Ayton plays even just average, the hate train's just going to pile on. And that's so tough, and it's going to be a really tough situation because Ayton is going to be good. Like, I believe that 100%. And rookies don't always come along 100% good right away. It takes a little bit of time. It takes a little bit of, you know, easing in. And the competition's just different. Do I think Ayton has a shot to just be a game changer right out of the gate? Yes, but we're going to ask him. We talked about it last week, how Kokoschkov is really pushing for DeAndre Ayton to really focus on defense and really focus on that aspect, and we know about the offense. So there are going to be some smaller games from Ayton, and that will just add on to it. And the pressure's there. But, you know, I think he will shoulder it and he'll be fine. But, like, you know, you get Shaq comparisons. We got a quote from Shaq just recently that was about how he keeps on hearing about Ayton could be the next Shaq, but his exact quote is, my advice to Ayton is don't be the next Shaq, be the first Ayton. I wish you well. I hope you break all my records. Like, that's high praise. That just adds on to the pressure of, like, things to prove. And I think Ayton can do it, but, like, the hate train's going to be there. Every time that they get a chance to, they're going to bash him.
You say, yeah, it will be easy for NBA fans in general to hop on that hate train if he does have some subpar games, you know, even early in his career. That's going to happen. But what I have seemed to notice is there's no hype train for Ayton. It seems like as a number one pick, not a ton of people talk about him nationally. But then again, this Shaq thing did just happen, so there's a little something Shaq noticed, but seems like NBA fans as a whole just aren't expecting a ton out of him. Maybe it's because we're the Phoenix Suns and we've been pretty poor the last few years. Maybe it's because Ayton didn't have a great showing in March Madness. Who knows what it is exactly, but the fact that there wasn't a lot of hype there in the beginning and there will be so many people eager to hop on the hate train, that's going to be an obstacle for him. That's something he'll have to prove. All right, let's move into the Media Day segment and talk a little bit about what stuck out during all those interviews. And the first thing I want to say is just the feel of optimism all around the team feels nice. After these last few years, things have been pretty rough. The expectations haven't been too high. But it seems like this year there's a little something extra. Maybe we're all a little more hopeful than we've been in past years, but that's really the main thing I take away from media days like this.
Yeah, I think that this team has really good chemistry. I think that's something different than what we've seen the past few years. These guys all like each other. They all get along. We've got some roles developing. You know, Booker is a clear leader. Trevor Ariza is just one of those guys who's a natural-born leader. We see Ryan Anderson is just a really funny guy. That's always good to have in the locker room. I've talked in the past about D'Anthony Melton being kind of a jokester, so that's kind of nice to have. And then you still have guys who take things a little more seriously, like TJ Warren. So it's nice to have a mix, and I just think this could possibly be the best team chemistry we've had in a while.
You know, even though they didn't do a ton of yoga in San Diego when they made their trip, a bunch of Instagram photo sessions for yoga, we didn't see that. But, you know, I like what those guys did. That was a cool story all in all.
Yeah.
I do agree. The chemistry does seem to be at a high, at least for the last few years.
Right. Well, and Earl Watson always preached this culture of family, but it never seemed like it really got achieved. It was very forced. This year, I feel like we have that culture of family, but it's more of like a one of those things that can go unsaid. We don't have to be obviously saying we're a family and all. It's like these guys just treat each other like that now.
You know what's better than treating each other like family? Like, treat it like a family business. Like, it is a business, you know?
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I also think that, like, I think some of that negativity in the locker room is, like, gone, and that definitely helps. I mean, not Marquise Chris necessarily, but, you know, Brandon Knight wasn't with the team for so long, and so there was kind of, like, a... I'm sure there was always some, like, questions of, like, all right, is he going to join us? Or, like, you know, is it... what's going to happen? And it took so long. We had, you know, Hair Salon Boy, who obviously didn't want to be here and said so, and we got it, and we don't have to deal with him. So, like,
speaking of the hair salon, I'd like to go back to last year, watch Media Day, and see what Bledsoe had to say. Like, I wonder if we could read in between the lines, you know, like, go back in time and see if it was apparent then that he really was upset.
I'm sure it was. I mean,
hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, I think it's, I think you can go back and be like, yeah, I think it was, but we probably didn't think so at the time. I think that just that also, that just changes that, though. I mean, like, Bledsoe was supposed to be a leader, and when your leader doesn't want to be here, then, you know, it's tough. And I think that this year we have a lot more clearly defined leaders, too. Like, one of them chose here. Two of them chose here, technically. I mean, Booker just signed his extension. He didn't decide to wait. Trevor Ariza signed here, and he's going to be a leader to these young guys. And, like, that's big. So, you know, when you have these clearly defined leaders, you have guys that are enthusiastic about being here, like Ryan Anderson, that makes things a lot different.
Yeah, Ryan Anderson was one of the more enthusiastic guys during Media Day, I'd say. And after how last year went with the Rockets and the way he saw his role change from the way it was when he had gotten there, he's really excited to be here. And that makes it exciting for fans. Like, we want to see you play. He wants to put on a show for us. I love that. But one thing he mentioned is he's excited to be just more, have a bigger role in every facet of the game. The Rockets obviously took advantage of his best thing on the court and put him out on the three-point line and just left him out there. He wasn't asked to do much rebounding, and he said, in the past, I've had some pretty decent rebounding seasons. I think it's been, he had a few above 7, a few above 6, something like that. So him being able to just play a more all-around game will probably be great for him, and as well as making him look better, that'll make the team look better. So I wasn't too excited about this Anderson trade at the beginning, but after seeing some of these interviews and thinking about what he can really do for the team, he's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Anderson is a great guy. Well, like, I don't think anyone can question that. The contract was his biggest issue and the size of it, but, you know, that's not as big of a deal. He's a veteran guy. There's not really a whole bunch of guys around the league that talk bad about him. He's had some, like, personal issues and fought through them and still played at a good level. So, you know, it's I'm glad to have him here and excited to see him be excited, kinda.
So, one of the other interviews I caught the entirety of was DeAndre Ayton, and he was just great to listen to. He's a funny guy. He's charismatic. I love him already. But the thing that just made me laugh was right when he sat down, one of our media people, they were like getting him set up, getting the mic set up for him, and he asks her how he looks, the first thing he asks. I don't know if he knew the mic was picking everything up, but she told him he looked good, and he was happy about that. And then he asked, do I have to do this every year? I think he may have been a little overwhelmed from Media Day with everyone there and all the questions and all the pictures, and I'm sure that wore on him a little bit, but I just thought that was funny. But really humble guy, realized what he's getting into as an NBA player. He sees how hard everybody works, and he's buying in. He's all in, is what he says. So I'm really hyped for Ayton, especially after watching some of those interviews.
Yeah, and it's so nice to see the players like that get so excited because we're so excited. So when they share the sentiment, it's something special. And I'm just so ready to watch some games. I'm ready to watch this game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have been without the basketball aspect, so getting to watch any basketball is great, but this group of guys is making us even more excited. Like, it's really pushing that level just because, like, there's so many question marks. Obviously, we're not pushing playoffs, but, you know, the improvement is there. We're going to be a better team, just addition by subtraction almost. But, like, the guy, like, we don't have Harris Salon, like, going in, and then all of a sudden we're running with Mike James and Tyler Ulis. Like, at least we know the guys that are going to be there. We're not having to change things on the fly. We have Trevor Ariza, who is a winner. We have Ryan Anderson, who has been a part of winning organizations. Like, even just switching out Jared Dudley for Ryan Anderson is, like, a huge win. And, like, being able to play Ayton for the majority of the center minutes instead of Tyson. And we love Tyson, but he is a shell of his former self. Like, he's not an offensive guy. He's not that great defense anymore.
A shell of his former shelf.
There we go. You got there. But, like, we have so much going for us. And, obviously, like, we're excited. But I think that the media day and just almost that preseason just bumps that excitement to like 11 right now.
Yeah. And think about it from the player's perspective. Speaking for everybody that we brought back from our team last year, no one had a good time last season. They got their butts whooped quite a few times. So they watch the playoffs. They watch the championship. They go through the off season. And then they get into training camp, and they're practicing twice a day. They're away from home. They're busting it every day. And then they have to go through media day, and they're interviewed all day, and pictures, and team pictures. And then finally, tonight, they get to go take the floor and actually play a basketball game. Brand new season. It's inspiring. It's exciting. And I'm ready. I'm ready. Like, I want to go play now. I'm hyped up now.
Now it's time for the non-sports section of the show. And this question is a pretty simple one. What TV show are you watching or looking forward to watching in the future? And I'll go first really quick just because the reason I ask this question is because I watched the season 3 premiere of The Good Place recently. And that show is so funny. The writing is great. The acting is great. The head writer and creator is Mike Schur from The Office and Parks and Rec and all that. He's a genius. So I highly recommend that show. If you haven't seen the first two seasons, do that as soon as you can. But I highly recommend The Good Place. It is so funny.
All right. So if you know me, if you've been a listener of the show, you know I'm going to say Game of Thrones right now. I believe in April we'll be getting the final season of Game of Thrones. I remember a little while back I saw something that it could be delayed and it might not be ready in April, but that was a while ago. I don't know if that was any sort of official, so I have no idea, but we've waited a long time for this final season and I really hope we get to see it in April. Otherwise, I haven't had a ton of time to be watching TV, but I think Better Call Saul is running right now. Really enjoy that show. I'm trying to find a way to get caught back up and figure out where I left off, but I did see an advertisement for it, and I was like, man, I gotta get back in on that. So those are my two recommendations, what I've been looking forward to.
Yeah, and for the first time in almost 3 years on the show, I can finally say I'm all caught up on Game of Thrones. And
yeah,
I'm really excited for season 8 as well, because season 7 was so good, and I didn't have to wait quite as long because I got caught up fairly recently, but it's still tough.
There may be some Sunday night watch parties in our future.
I'm definitely down.
Well, I won't be watching with you guys. But,
nerd. You're a nerd. Watch so, Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
nerd.
Nerd.
You guys are a bunch of nerds.
Bully nerds.
People that listen to the show know that I'm a big My Hero Academia fan. It's basically anime Sky High, but like way better. And that's not giving it nearly enough like justice, but I'm just going to roll with that. Season 3 is going on right now. I'm about an episode or two behind. But it's getting pretty close to the end of Season 3, and then I'll be the wait for Season 4. But it's been great. Good heart feeling good moments and hype moments. So that's been great. Coming up is October 19th, Daredevil Season 3 comes out, which is super exciting. That show is pretty good. The first season is awesome. The first half of the second season is just as awesome and has some sweet stuff. You know, this season is shaping up to look like it's taken on from the Born Again storyline, which is probably the best Daredevil story ever, and it's pretty exciting that's happening. The Defenders show kind of set it up a little bit, but that show wasn't that great, but there is a lot of stuff that like affected Daredevil, so that means that like a lot of stuff is happening and it's going to be really exciting. Besides that, stuff that I'm really watching right now and trying to get caught back up on is Bob's Burgers. Show's great, but you know, I didn't watch all the shows, all the episodes as they came out. I would just watch it here or there. So I've been trying to, you know, hit up the DVR and just kind of watch through it and watch what I've missed. So that's been taking up a ton of my time because that show is great.
Yeah.
I will say my wife and I did crank through the last season of Bob's Burgers on Hulu, I think we were watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But great show. Last season was solid.
It was, yeah. I was a big fan of last season of Bob's Burgers, and I believe the new season starts the night that we're recording this. So by the time this episode is out, the first episode of Bob's Burgers should be out of the new season. So I might have to check that out once we're done here.
I bet it's definitely out since this is technically the second time we've recorded this episode tonight. By now, I bet it is. All right, guys, thank you for listening this week. We'll be back again next week. We'll have some preseason games to talk about. We're really excited about that. Check us out on Twitter, @SunnyandPHXPod, and we'll talk to you again next week. Go Suns!